Hello, my name is Saravia Balassa, and you're listening to Girl Code. Hello, everyone. Another day, another episode. Today, I'm really excited to share with you someone who has a passion for cybersecurity. Today, we're interviewing Jessica Lam, who is currently a student at UCSD and an aspiring security engineer, who had a passion for cybersecurity and computer science since high school. So we're able to really see her journey as a person who's interested in security from a pretty young age and how that has developed into the research interest she has now, including a research interest in education, and also the way she's translated that into working for different orgs like ACM Cyber and really helping the greater community and women in STEM feel like they can be a part of the cybersecurity world. So if that's something that interests you and you're passionate about cybersecurity or have no idea even what it is and want to learn more, stay tuned for today's episode. Well, I'm just going to get started with the first question. Nothing too crazy. So how did you get introduced to the world of technology and where does that journey really begin?
So I was like really lucky to actually get introduced to tech like really early on in my life, because a lot of my family members that I grew up around, like my parents and like also like my aunts and uncles on my mom's side, like they all like sort of work in some kind of tech role or something similar. So like when I was a lot younger, my parents would actually send me to like 1 week summer camps that were like learn how to code, but like also were like sort of like a daycare for your kids. And to be honest, I don't think I like actually like retained a lot from the experiences, but like I think like just having that experience like helped me feel like it was like a viable career path for me. It's like something that I could pursue like in the future. So like by the time I was in high school and like actually like took like a CS class and like join like the Women in Computer Science Club that was at my school, like it actually like made me a lot more excited about like CS and like wanting to pursue it as like a career path.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely remember hearing about those different programs when I was younger. I was like, I don't want to do this, but thinking about it now, it's really awesome that those programs exist to bring people computer science at a young age. So it's really fortunate that your parents decided to put you in that. So you were saying you were involved in different organizations in high school. So what were those organizations that you were involved in?
I was mostly in the Women in Computer Science Club. I joined like early on in my freshman year, I think, because I knew someone else who was like interested in it. We were like, yeah, let's like join together. And that was like really cool because like we participated in this thing called Technovation Challenge, where like basically you try to like create some kind of like Android app or something like that that solves like some kind of issue based off like a list of like sort of things that they're interested in. So like that was like kind of a cool experience. Had like helped me figure out that I did not want to do like Android development. I like hated that. And then later on, like I think it was like there was a cybersecurity club at my school, and I had heard about it from one of my friends, and I was like, that like kind of sounds interesting. Maybe like these competition style things, like maybe that'll be kind of cool to like check out. And I joined, and I participated in like one of the competitions that they hold for like high schoolers called Cyber Patriot, and it was like, to be honest, not the best experience, but like for some reason I like latched on to like security at that point, because like I think it's just like the content that we were doing, it just like seemed so out of scope for me and like so difficult, and that made me like want to be like, oh, like I know I can't do it right now, but like I want to eventually be able to do these things. So like that made me like want to like pursue it more, if that makes sense. So like that club experience was not great. But I think that still got me interested in the cybersecurity, like made me really want to like pursue it as like a career path.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because a lot of people in high school don't necessarily get that exposure to cybersecurity at that age. So it's really awesome that you were able to. I know you said that it was difficult
pursuing cybersecurity in the very beginning, but what did you do to get over the difficulty of it in a technical sense?
It's sort of like still a work in progress. And I think like security is just like, when you say security, there's like so many different things that like you can do like within the field of security. So there's still a lot of things I feel like I'm not up to par in. But like I remember when I first started like in high school, and like I was like just like they put me on a competition team. It was like just like figure things out. And I was like, okay, so like how am I supposed to approach like the challenge? And I like just Google search things. So which is honestly not the most helpful advice, but like actually it was like ended up being useful in the long run, because it's just like, I mean, there's so many resources online now that like if I really needed to like find something, it was really helpful for me to just like search it up and like try to do my own like in-depth digging into it and trying to learn as much as possible. And of course it eventually helped like later doing like engaging in like research projects, and also like eventually taking classes about it that like helped me like solidify my understanding.
This is a little bit of a jump, but since you mentioned classes, what classes at UCSD have you taken in this field that you found the most interesting for anyone at UCSD who's potentially listening?
Yeah, so well, like I guess here at UCSD we don't have a lot of security courses, at least for undergraduates. There's only like 127, which is the computer security course, and then 107 is more cryptography related, so it's like more theoretical, pretty relevant. I took both of those classes, and I really liked them, but I do have to warn that it's a lot of content, and there's a lot that you have to like. Like I, at least for me, there's a lot of work I had to put into it to like do well in the class. But in the end, I ended up sort of enjoying the experience.
Did you take courses outside of UCSD then to supplement like your knowledge in cybersecurity, perhaps online or at a community college or something?
So not really like security specific, but when I was like in my senior year of high school, I took like an online course through the community college nearby to do like to learn about networking things. This is mainly because like in order to do or understand security better, it's helpful to understand like the systems you're trying to secure. So like, if I wanted to understand network security, it's like helpful to like understand how do we do networking in the first place, like what are these protocols and like how do they happen, and then now that I understand like how they happen, like how can I apply security on top of that to like improve it or make it safe.
That's something I actually didn't really think about, but now that you mention it, it makes a lot of sense, understanding the backbone, because security is one of those things that's applied to a lot of different fields in computer science. And I guess having a strong network requires good security, so makes a lot of sense. So I know we just talked about the difficulties you face technically, in cybersecurity, but if any, what difficulties have you faced pursuing cybersecurity, perhaps from a social standpoint, or perhaps being a woman in STEM? And what have you done to, oh, and what have you done to overcome these challenges?
Yeah, so I guess like one thing is like when most people think about like a security specialist, or they even just like think of like a hacker, you're like, oh, it's like some like random dude like it like you know this like hoodie like doing like hacker things on like his computer, and like I don't know, that's like not me at all. I just like you know and I remember when I was first starting like getting into security, I had like people tell me like, you know, like you don't seem the type that will like be interested in security. Like when I think of a security person, like you know, you need to have like started at like, you know, like breaking apart hardware when you were like 5 years old and like learned how to like script things by the time you were like 10. Like that's like the security person like in my mind, and like I don't really fit that, and so it was like hard to like sort of like mesh that like I guess with like my own identity. And I was like, oh, like people were telling me like, you don't really fit into this role, and also like I feel like I'm not like the type of person like that would fit into this role. So I was like kind of hard to like sort of reconcile with. But like part of what helped me through that was just like finding like systems of support. So like when I was in like high school, I was like in the Women in Computer Science Club, which like really helped like have, even though they weren't specifically security relief. It was like other women who like helped encourage me to do like the things that I wanted to do. And that was like sort of nice to have. And then like later on, when I was starting out in college, I joined the Women in Cybersecurity organization, which is like a, it's more like national level, and they have like local chapters that are not necessarily like school specific, but are like regional specific. So there's one in SoCal. So I joined that, and like, this was like during the pandemic, so like everything was online. So it was really easy for me to just like click and like join all these events and like meet all these people and like, just like meeting people who are sort of like me and like similar to myself and like encouraged me to like continue forward. That really helped.
That's awesome. I didn't know there was a national org for women in cybersecurity, but that's really great. What has been your favorite memory from being a part of that organization?
When I was in the org, there was this like sort of competition, or like they call them capture the flag competitions, are like cybersecurity related competitions, just to like sort of practice your skills and also like compete for prizes sometimes. So there was one that they were holding, and like I had never really done a specific like CTF like this before. That was like not school level, just like with like all these people, especially like in this org. So it was like really exciting to sort of participate in, and also like meet a lot of people along the way. I ended up getting close to like the president of the SoCal chapter. And so eventually, after she sort of split from the org and decided to start her own like cyber diversity, equity, and inclusion org, like I was able to like sort of follow along with her. And she like really mentored me throughout like sort of my school process. And just like, even when I joined like ACM Cyber, which is like our cybersecurity org on campus, like I went to her for advice, like, what do you think I should do to like make our org more inclusive for like women and like other people who aren't, who are like minorities in this field? Really exciting to just have.
That's awesome. I was going to touch on this a little bit later, but I guess we can just talk about it now. It can be really difficult, I feel like, to find mentors in the tech space sometimes, but sometimes they just happen to come upon you, kind of like what you're saying. It's not like you were looking for a mentor, but it just happened. So my first question would be, what are the values you look for when you're finding someone to be your mentor?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's important that like the mentor is someone who obviously like, obviously like care about you and like want to support you as a person. And like your individual growth is like important to them. Because I know there's sometimes like, it's like hard to like make that connection sometimes with people. Like you just like meet people and like maybe you just don't click right away. So it's like a little bit hard to like grow that sort of relationship. But like when you find someone that like really seems to like care about like what you're doing and like who you are as a person, like how you're growing, I think that's really important and really helpful going forward. And like I think one of the most important things about having a mentor is just like having someone that's like, you can just like, they're like okay with you just reaching out and being like, hey, like I just want to chat, and like this is like sort of the things that I want to chat about that I'm like sort of worried about, like I need advice on this, and just like in general be sort of like a sounding board for things and like help try to find opportunities to help you continue to improve yourself. I think that's the most important part of having a mentor.
So when you were looking for mentors, how did you find them beyond possibly just the one that you were talking about? And what would you recommend for people who are looking for mentors? How should they find them?
Yeah, so I guess it depends on like sort of what you're looking for. So like another example of like a mentor I have is like more of my professors. I like took a class with him my freshman year and like ended up doing research with him. And through that process, he's like really seen me grow. And like just like having that was like, that was more, I guess, not so constructive because I wasn't like exactly reaching out and like with the intent of him being one of my mentors, but like just like having a relationship grown that way, like he sort of ended up becoming one of my mentors. But if you don't really like have that, you can, I feel like some, like one way you can do is just like, well, I'll start over. So, or like, so one way that's like I found useful in some cases, like for example, I was looking for people to talk to about like different security roles, like that, you know, I didn't know people who are already like doing that role, but like I thought would be interesting to like look into and like talk to someone about what they were doing. And I ended up just going to like a bunch of random events. Again, this is like when things are still on Zoom, so it's like super easy to just like attend things. And then like I would just have the opportunity to like chat with people, and like if they were doing something that I was really interested in or like I felt like we clicked, I just like sent them a LinkedIn request. I just like wrote down their name somewhere and was like, after the event, I sent them a LinkedIn request. I wrote a connection note and be like, hey, like I met you at this event, like we talked about this. And I thought that was really cool. I wonder if I could follow up on that. And then just like continue the conversation like on LinkedIn. And like, granted, those mentors aren't like, for me, were not like very long lasting ones. But I think it's more about like sort of quality over quantity. Then you end up like having to manage like all these relationships, but I feel like just picking out like the one or two people that you think will be like are sort of more important to you, and like making sure to like reach out to them once in a while and just like building our relationship and continuing to like discuss with them, be like, hey, can we meet one-on-one to talk about things? I think that really helps sort of build that mentorship aspect.
That's a really great point about going on LinkedIn and requesting to connect with someone can actually be really helpful from time to time. I remember when I was at my internship, that was something I did as well. So that's some good advice for a lot of people. So again, you were mentioning that you have professors as some of your mentors, and I know you've done research throughout your years at UCSD. So how did you get involved in research in the first place?
Yeah, so I feel like I was kind of lucky to get into the research that I'm doing now. So like the way it worked out was like my freshman year, the very first CS class I was taking was CSE 11, which is just like the intro programming class in Java. And my professor, Professor Giralt, he like had us all fill out this survey that was like, just like general like things about the class, like make sure you understand, and also like so you could collect some like demographics information, like sort of learn like who we are. And I remember there being like this one last question. I was like, is there anything else interesting you'd like to tell me or anything like that? So I just like put in like a bunch of like random like facts about myself, like fun facts, and then in there I put in that like, I was also interested in security, in pursuing something related to security. I didn't think he was going to ever read that because there's so many people in that class. But I was like, I'll just like put it in there and like maybe it'll be cool if like, I don't know, he just reads that and like it's just cool for him to know. And then I like didn't really think about it for a long time. And then like a couple of weeks like after he sent out that survey, one of my friends was like, oh, I'm planning to go to his office hours. Like, do you want to come with me? And I was like, why not? I've never gone to professor's office hours, but like if you come with me, like it'll be less nerve-wracking. So we went together, and then I ended up like staying there the whole time, just like listening to him talk, and like I ended up asking some questions, and I ended up going back and just like hanging out in the office hours basically. And I guess because of that, he like started to like recognize who I was. And then he sent me an email eventually and was like, hey, I actually read your survey response. And I remember you from office hours, and I saw that you're interested in security. I'm doing this like security related project. It's in like computer science education, like improving like the security education aspect of it. Would you like to work on it with me? And I was like most like, I was like, everything is like aligned for this to happen. And I ended up meeting with him, and I was like, this is really exciting to me because like, sure, it's not like pure security, but it's like also something that I think is really important that we do, that's like integrating or like teaching students about security concepts in like our core curriculum, which is like really cool to work on.
Wow, that is definitely some story right there. The amount of things, like you said, that had to align to make that happen is kind of crazy, but it just goes to show that it's worth putting yourself out there in random situations to make things happen. So I'm glad that that worked out for you. So are you still working on that project, or did that finish already? What's the status with that?
Yeah, so for that project, we're still working on it. So we've already done, like, we're just, like, doing it in stages. So, like, usually with this kind of research, you, like, assess like what the current like status of like computer science education is right now, especially with regards to security. And then so we did like two papers on that, and then most recently we just published a paper that was on where we actually interviewed students who had taken specific courses, and we wanted to see like, hey, you guys understand security, and if not, like that's understandable because we know it's like not really taught in the, like in most classes. So like what are the ways that like, I guess like what are the barriers are they facing, and like how can we eventually overcome those and like teach students these like secure coding practices? Yeah, I'm still working on that one. And then but I decided to pick up like a different project that was like much more security focused as well. And I was like, if I talk about it. After I started doing the research stuff with Professor Gerald, I knew I wanted to pursue like more technical research as well. Like this was more qualitative and like understanding like education, which is like I thought was really important. But I also wanted to grow my technical skills. So UCSD has the really cool like ERSP program, which is like Early Research Scholars. Yeah, Early Research Scholars program, and it's for second year students to like get introduced to research. So I was like, I applied and I got in. So like I ended up like throughout the like the next year, like my second year, I basically like you learn like research practices, like how to write a research proposal, and then they pair you with professors and a grad student. And like they'll have like a project for you to work on like with another group of students. So that like really let me do much more technical security work. And then I was really excited by the work that we did that year. So at the end, I was like, hey, I know the ERSP has like ended already, but I really like doing this work and I like doing security with you guys. So can I join the lab next year? And they're like, yeah, sure. Just like hop on and we'll like figure out a project for you to do. And I was like, that was like super cool for me. Yeah.
That's awesome. ERSP is one of those programs that I know has made a really big difference in a lot of people's lives in terms of determining whether they'll choose to do research in the future, perhaps pursue grad school or do research in industry, something like that. So it's awesome that it had a similar impact on you as well. So what would you say is your favorite part of doing research in general?
Yeah, I guess one of my main motivations for doing research was honestly because I wanted to do more security things without having taken the security class yet. Because I don't know if like anyone else is listening like knows about like the UCSD like course prerequisites, but like to take the 127 like security course, there are so many courses that you have to take that like, even though I was like going as fast as I could with all the classes, I couldn't take it until the first quarter of my third year here. So like, there's like a lot of prerequisites. And I was like, man, I don't want to have to wait till my third year to do things that are like security related and like learn things that are security related. So it was like sort of a way to like for me to self-learn security without like having more external motivation, like sort of added on to it and like having more direction and guidance. So that was like one thing. And then like the other thing is just like meeting professors. I don't know, some professors are just so cool and like they're just like doing really cool research and just like it's just exciting. It's like, wow, I actually like know this person. I talked to this person and they're doing like all this cool stuff.
That's so true. I definitely think that it's really hard to get to all of those upper division electives and pick the things that you want to finally learn and do. But at the same time, all of the lower divs are really useful and necessary. So I don't really know how to solve that problem, but it's just so unfortunate because everyone gets to their junior and senior year and is like, wow, now I finally know that I'm interested in this and I'm graduating. So it's kind of terrible, but I definitely feel the pain in that. So what would you say is the best opportunity that research has given you, perhaps in terms of maybe a conference you went to or like an award or anything else?
One of the professors I'm working with, Gerald, who I've been working with since my freshman year, actually nominated me for this researcher award for undergraduate researchers through the CRA. And actually, I don't think I would have gotten that opportunity if it wasn't for him. I actually ended up being one of the finalists, which is like super exciting to me, especially like since I'm only a third year. And I was like, I don't know, it was just like really cool. I don't think I would have like had the opportunity if it wasn't like for him sort of like believing in me like from the very start. And then unfortunately, all the conferences that we've had our paper submitted to so far have been online. So like I've attended, but it's like only been online, which is like not like the experience that like you normally have. But I'm really excited that the next conference that we just published, and it's gonna be in Rhode Island. So I'll be there, and I'm like first author, which is like super hype. So I'll be there actually presenting our paper and like being like the person people like ask questions to, and like be able to like network with other people there and be like, hey, like what do you think of my work? You wanna like do similar work and stuff like that.
That's so awesome. I'm so excited for you. It's crazy that things are finally getting to be in person and just in time for you to be first author on something. So congratulations. That's super awesome. Yeah. All of the conferences for women in computing and stuff, Grace Hopper, were virtual the last couple of years. And I think it's finally going to be in person in fall. And everyone, all the seniors are graduating. So big bummer, but hopefully you get to go and everyone gets to hear all about it. So that's awesome. What advice would you give people who are interested in getting involved with research?
Yeah, I think at least what like worked for me, and also like some of the people I know that are doing research, is just like going to office hours. It's like, this is like the best way to talk to your professor. And like, I know people are like, I know I was hesitant about going to office hours at the beginning. I was like, oh, it's gonna be awkward. Like, this is professor who's like, seems like they're like leagues above me. And I'm just like a measly like undergrad, like trying to like come talk to them. And I think people also have this like notion that like office hours are only for asking like course questions, which of course it's like really helpful for that. But like, especially in like the first 1 or 2 weeks of the class when like no one has questions yet, it's just like set up and like stuff like that. Like office hours are usually empty. So like just go, like you get one-on-one time with like a cool prof, and like you can ask them about like their research. And just like be also vocal about your own interests. Like if you like their research and you're like, hey, I'm actually really interested in that. And just like making sure they know that, and like sort of like create that little like sprout like in their mind that's like, oh, maybe this person like wants to do research with me. So when you like approach them later about it, like after you've done their class, they're like, oh, you did well, and like you seem like motivated and like interested in this work, like a possibility to like continue doing research with that person.
Just like how you went and talked to them and filled out that survey. Good advice. Now everyone better go to office hours, because look where you ended up now. So there you go. And additionally, I know you said you had started your tech journey earlier in your life than a lot of people, but for those who do start their tech journey later than high school, perhaps might not know that those are their interests just yet. What advice would you give them to help them gain confidence in their work?
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing that just like stuck with me for like since my freshman year, and I keep going back to Gerald, but like honestly, this man has just like supported me so much in my career. My freshman year, that very first class I took with him, he like said this one thing about, it was like so cheesy, but I just love it so much. He's like, think of like this graph, right? And you're like, the start of the graph is like, you know, your start of like college, and like everyone is like on this graph, and like some people's like y-intercept might be like above yours, meaning they came in with like experience or like they already learned some things, but like the y-intercept, like where you start, is like not super important. What's important is like your slope and like how you're like learning. Like, you know, like if someone's like has like starts out with all this experience or like it's sort of flatlining, but you're like, even if you're like with zero experience, like you can like, you know, do so much with just like extra, a little bit of extra work, and like sort of like continue to like improve yourself. And like, that's just like, I don't know. That's like his way of like saying like don't compare. Like I wouldn't say like necessarily compare yourself with like the other students who like feel like they've already started so much above you. Like there's still like, you know, work that you can do to like sort of get yourself up to speed and like beyond that. Like, and I was like really cheesy, but like that just like stuck with me for so long. Yeah.
That's a good example, especially because I know everyone listening to that is a little bit of a math nerd. So the only way to get into their heads is to use an algebra example. So that's a really great example. I know we also talked about the fact that you're involved with different organizations at UCSD and otherwise, but I just want to talk about the ones at UCSD. I know you're involved with ACM and ACM Cyber. So how did you get involved with these organizations and what do you do in them?
Yeah, so I got into ACM first, mostly because ACM Cyber didn't exist until I want to say my second year, maybe it's like the end of my first year. But like, I just remember, this is when we're still in person, it was like winter quarter and I was walking on library walk. And there's a table for ACM, and someone just like shouted at me, was like, "Do you like to code?" And I was like, yes." I was like confused, and they're like, "Come talk to us." So like, I was like, "Okay, like I guess I kind of want to join some orgs anyway." And like, these people seem like pretty welcoming. They were like trying to engage me in conversation. I was like, "Yeah, come to our like winter kickoff, like come to our events, like." We have food. There's so much food. There's going to be boba. And I was like, honestly, the food was a selling point in the beginning. But I went to like a couple events and it was just like, it was just really fun. And like, I feel like, I guess sort of the thing that like, I didn't realize a lot more when I was coming into like college was that like they hold so many workshops and like events that you just like go to and like learn so much. And it's like different from like high school where it's like, oh, like, you know, you just, like, meet once in a while and, like, maybe, like, work on a project with someone, but it's, like, it's more just, like, weekly meetings where, like, here you have, like, all these events you can go to, like, learn all these things and, like, meet all these people. So that's how I joined, like, ACM, like, general. And then I saw, like, someone, I think it was, like, on the announcement or something, they're, like, oh, we're, like, just starting ACM Cyber, like, if you're interested, we have, like, some positions for our board and like committee, and I was like, maybe I should apply, maybe not. And then like I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go for it. Like I'll like sort of look at some of the events they're already holding and then just like shoot my shot sort of. So I applied and I actually like ended up sort of getting in. Granted, it is like a relatively small org, so it did make it like a little bit more chill, but it was like that's how I ended up becoming more of like a part of the board and like doing right now I do like membership, so I like handle like all the socials and like trying to like engage people like with our org.
I know that when I was looking at orgs my freshman year, I was like, do they have burritos? If there's burritos, I'm coming. So I totally understand that with the selling point. But I think it's really cool how you joined ACM Cyber when it was a little baby and you get to see how it grows over your time here at UCSD, which is awesome. So I know you said that you do membership, the socials and stuff. What kind of events do you specifically hold?
Yeah, so it has been a little bit limiting because of like sort of the online environment. We're trying to hopefully go back in person and do like more in-person events. But yeah, it's mostly like we do a lot of like game night things, which is like always fun. Playing like Scribble or like, I don't know, other games like Jackbox and stuff like that. And then I'm trying to think of like more things we have planned for the spring. We're going to have like a... I know like this quarter is like sort of a mess with like all the online things that, especially like, I guess like our own internal policies that we're going to do online socials just because of like logistics things. So, but for the spring, we're going to have like a really exciting like murder mystery party social. I don't know if you ever like had like one of these murder mysteries, but it's like everyone gets assigned like a character and like these are like the things that your character like knows and like this is the occupation of your character, and then you talk to like the other people like as that character and like try to figure out like who like sort of did the murder. And then we're going to do it like sort of like cybersecurity thing, which I think would be kind of fun to do as well. I'm hoping to put on like sort of an escape room style thing too, except instead of just like normal puzzles, we can do them like sort of with a little security twist. But yeah, I just like hope to do a lot of like sort of those kinds of socials and just like try to engage people, even if they're like maybe like iffy about security, like just like come join us, like see what we're about, and like I don't know, just have fun with our community.
That's awesome. Those event ideas are really creative. And I've always wanted someone at UCSD to do one of those murder mystery party socials. So you're going to have to tell me how that goes, because that sounds really fun. And how do you recommend that people get involved in organizations? Because I know it can be really intimidating coming in with so many different options and being really busy. But what would you tell people who are a little bit interested in joining an org?
Yeah, I think what I did my freshman year was like, I just went to like all the events that sounded interesting to me, like no matter what org like was hosting it. Like I just saw like, oh, like I've never done circuit board stuff, but like there's this org that's like doing like creating like a little musical instrument circuit board. Like that sounds kind of cool. Like I just want to go and like learn how to do things and like maybe take home my own little circuit board. And then like I just like attended like all these like random events, and I ended up deciding like sort of going to like all these events from all these different orgs, and then sort of narrowing it down to like a couple that I was like most interested in, just based on like general like events that they hold, and also like the people that like I was going there with. Like I feel like it makes like a big difference, like when people are really welcoming to you when you go to an event, it makes you feel like you're part of the org already. So like that sort of just like helped me. And then like, I guess now that we're online, a lot of orgs have shifted to using like Discord to like communicate with people. So I just like joined a bunch of random Discords for all these orgs, and then just like picked the few that I ended up liking the most. And I think that's like sort of the easiest way to like instantly get like connected with other people, just like going to events, or also like signing up for like the newsletter. Sometimes like some orgs will have newsletters to like find out about what events are happening.
I remember realizing that everyone was moving on Discord, and I was like, okay, this is my chance to see what all the orgs are about. And it's super fun because some orgs, their Discords are really, really active, and you can tell that they're really engaged as a community, which is always a good sign. So that's definitely a good tip. Jumping back to cybersecurity, there's a couple of questions to wrap things off. So I know right now that you are a junior and you are going to be a senior next year, and then undergrad is done. So where do you see your work going in the next few years?
Yeah, so I know I want to do something security related. One thing I don't want to necessarily like siphon myself off yet, like narrow down to do only security things. So I think security is applicable to like a lot of different fields. So I'm like really interested in getting into like AI ML sounds like really cool. There's been a lot of like new and upcoming work that's like on using AI ML to like detect security issues in systems, which I feel like is like a really cool thing to like end up being able to work on. And also like there's also been like a big shift to like cloud computing, more especially for like more like smaller mid-sized companies. And I feel like cloud, like that just brings a whole new attack surface that we have to secure. And I feel like that's like something interesting to like end up being working on. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure where I'll end up yet, or like the specifics of what I want to be doing, but I know like definitely security, and I also still really like coding. So like just having both of those and maybe doing some like cool things that are related to that as well.
I didn't actually think about the fact that all these new surfaces really change how security needs to be thought about. For example, you were mentioning cloud. I didn't actually think about that, but that's a really good point. So speaking of new things happening in the tech world, what is going on in the world of cybersecurity right now that excites you? Perhaps something in the news or something that you read about in your research?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if it's like necessarily exciting, but like maybe more like concerning that like, because especially because of the pandemic, everyone has like shifted more, or like has everyone is being more so I don't know if this is so much as exciting as more just like concerning, but like because of the pandemic, you can see everyone like being much more reliant on their devices and like online like profiles and stuff like that. So like security is becoming more and more important. Like there have been so many cyber attacks, like especially in just these past 2 years, like they've been spiking like insane. You know, there's just like this surge of like, it's always like a one-up like war kind of between like, you know, the hackers and like how can we like improve our system. So like just like seeing that like surges of like placing this importance on security has been like really exciting and concerning, but like mostly exciting.
It's definitely a good point that the last few years have brought on the fact that everyone is online. Systems, networks are so impacted by the fact that everyone's constantly using them. And as a result, security is impacted. So that's a really great point and just shows that there's a really large need for people to be involved in the world of security as a field in education, I guess. So that's a really great point. And this is the last question, which I ask everyone on the podcast, but what advice would you have given yourself when you were just starting out your tech journey?
Yeah, I think it's like one thing that I sort of wish I like told myself early on was like, don't stress. I think when I was like younger, I was like, oh, like I need to do all these things. Like I need to be like, I don't know, not necessarily top of my class. I need to like be high achieving in like all these different areas. Just like, dude, relax a little bit, like take your time to explore. I know like early on I was like, this security thing is like my thing. I'm gonna try to be like as good as like I can be like in this one specific area, which is like definitely like, you know, I'm like okay with that now, but like I feel like it'd be good to like just explore, like have like more exploration like early on. Like, because what if, like, I ended up not liking the security thing and I ended up, like, doing so much work for it? Like, obviously, I can change paths, like, later down the line. But I think when you're, like, early on, it's much easier to, like, explore all these different fields and, like, you know, just, like, take your time, like, looking at all these different things that you can do and, like,
There's definitely a lot of pressure at a young age. I still think it's so crazy for people to know what they want to do for the rest of their lives. But I read this fun article the other day that was talking about how Vera Wang wasn't able to do many things that she wanted to do for the longest time. She didn't get editor in chief. She was rejected by a bunch of brands. And then so much later in her life, she said, I'm going to become a wedding dress designer, you know, and she's like popping off now. So that, yeah, it definitely goes to show that taking time to evaluate your interests is definitely good and really important. So that's all that I had for the podcast. Thank you so much for talking to us today. Really excited. Really exciting to hear about everything you had to say about cybersecurity. So thank you again.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It was really fun.